But we're going to move on now with a little bit of monologue which comes from another time.
That's what I want for Neil. Or I did want it. At a time when he was lounging about in bed most of the time, I would have loved a bed tray. I don't think I'm going to bother with one now.
It could almost be a production from BBC Radio Drama, but actually that comes from real life as a woman from southern England sits looking through a shopping catalogue. It's from a huge archive of recordings of everyday people engaged in everyday speech. It was all recorded around the UK by researchers back in the 1990s. And in fact, if you played all that stuff continuously, it would go on for a whole year. This speech in the wild, as they call it, is of great interest to anybody who's studying the evolution of spoken language. But linguists and phonetics experts, well, they're busy people, so they don't really want to listen through to a whole year's worth of archive to dig out certain words or phrases that they want to study. But the good news is that the archive has already been transcribed. But then that still doesn't make it very easy to actually go into that sound archive and locate the exact corresponding bit of audio. Well, that's where an Oxford University team has come in, using speech recognition to match second by second, and indeed phrase by phrase, the recorded words with their counterparts on those transcripts. Well, to find out more, I've been having words with Oxford Professor of Phonetics, John Coleman.
With so much material, the real problem is how you do anything at all with it. How do you find what it is you're looking for? There are some people who are interested in grammar, some people are interested in children, how they learn language, other people are interested in change. Now, in our project, we're not looking at any one of these areas in particular. What we're going to be doing is marking up every word, every vowel, every consonant in this corpus of speech. We're going to provide a front end, a search engine, if you like, so that you can look for, pull out examples of whatever it is you happen to be looking for.
And we have a few samples of speech here as well on your computer, and one of them, we're just going to play it now, is actually a couple of older ladies, as they're described here, and they're discussing an item in a newspaper.
The Russian officers were trying to sell four stolen nuclear artillery shells to Iran for £6 million each.
They're desperate for money, sir. And all these Russian scientists with, you know, sending up these rockets in the air, they're going to go over to Iraq.
This is the first opportunity we've had for preparing this large collection of speech in such a way that you can, in fact, find what you're looking for.
This is where the computation comes in. How are you actually going to put a front end onto this? So if you want to search for particular words or uses of words or grammatical flourishes, whatever it is that you as linguists are interested in, how are you going to put that into a searchable form on a computer?
The first job that has to be done, and really this is the biggest job of the whole project, is to align the speech recordings, these digital speech recordings. We've got to mark up the speech recordings with a transcription of every word and every vowel and consonant. Now, in fact, all of their corpus has already been transcribed many years ago, but the transcriptions aren't synchronized with the audio recordings. So what we're going to do is use what is now fairly conventional technology from speech recognition systems to force an alignment between the transcriptions and the audio data. So it's a way of adding annotations to the audio by aligning the transcriptions to the sound recordings. There are some technical challenges to resolve. But in a pilot project that we did last summer, we evaluated how well current state-of-the-art technology works on this kind of data and found that actually it'll be good enough to find the material you want and get to the bit of the recording that you want reasonably well. You can get to within a second or two easily, and sometimes to within milliseconds of the words you're looking for.
What kind of things do you ultimately hope to use this resource for?
Well, I think it's going to open up the possibility for all kinds of studies of language in the wild, as we say, that have never been attempted before. Yeah, so one of the sorts of questions that this resource enables us to ask, which was just impossible previously, is listening to how people talk to animals, such as the family pet. I've got an example here, for instance, of a couple of people and how they respond when the family dog enters the room.
Hello, Ben.
And for people thinking, well, why does this matter? You know, how is it going to change the world if you can say something interesting about the way people speak to animals? Is it just like language is, it's a window onto our culture. Is that why this kind of research matters?
I think a trend that we can see, in fact, is that audio-visual material is coming to have a much greater place in our IT culture and in our material culture than ever before. So in years gone by, the main form in which one encountered language was through text. But as computers have become more powerful and storage has become cheap, think how much of the time we now spend interacting with our computers and with material on the web. I think it's a major cultural shift, actually, in the way in which we interact with technology that we haven't quite caught up with yet. Our browsers and search engines and so on are still very much focused on text. If we want to search on a search engine for a particular piece of video or a news item, we still tend to use the keyboard as a way of expressing what it is we're looking for, even if it's an image that we're searching for. We've already reached the point at which the material that dominates the internet is audiovisual material. And so the ways in which you might want to look for it, access it, and retrieve it will be dominated by audiovisual search technologies from now on.
That's John Coleman at Oxford. Well, Bill Thompson is still here. And Bill, it just seems like it's such a problem, isn't it, how you search through audio. We can do it through text, no worries, but audio is a whole other issue.
It is, and it's one that, you know, all the major search engines are trying to deal with. I mean, audio is bad, video is even worse. But it's something that we are going to have to address because, as John Coleman was saying, we are coming to expect it. I mean, they have an advantage with the corpus of words there, which is obviously they've got a transcript which they can work from, and that really makes a difference. And it may well be that the work on speech-to-text that's going on, where you can actually take running speech and, you know, turn it into recognisable words and then index them and link them with the material, with the raw audio, will give us some breakthroughs here. Because if it doesn't, we're going to lose access to all of this sort of stuff. You know, in the Google generation, if you like, you know, school kids rely on being able to find stuff easily. It's the stuff that is findable that gets mentioned in essays, that gets used in reports and stuff like that. If you can't make audiovisual material findable as easily as text is findable, then it is going to drop out of use to some extent, and we've been losing a great deal.
Okay, and as you and I both know, Bill, audio definitely matters in this business. Bill, thanks a lot for that.
BBC.